Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Mem Aleph. We're holding on daf Mem Amid Beis. In the last few words of the page, on Amar Rava, today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and is also sponsored by the Cohn, Gordon, and Steinmetz families in memory of Rabbi Howard Joseph, Rav Chaim Shmuel Ben Zev, Zichrono Levracha. Rabbi Joseph was a musmach of Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Dr. Belkin, and was a pillar of the modern Orthodox community in Montreal, where he served as the Rav of the Spanish and Portuguese synagogue, the oldest synagogue in Canada for over 50 years, is Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So today is a jam-packed off. First discussion we're going to have, is we're going to continue our discussion whether Shavias becomes Mischalel Derech Mekach or Derech Hilul, meaning for sure Derech Mekach, you can transfer the money, you can transfer the Kedusha onto the next item. What about Derech Hilul? Can a person take his own money or his own other item and transfer the Kedusha onto that that other item? So that's going to be, that we already saw as a Machlokas, and we're going to continue to discuss that Machlokas about Derech Mekach versus Derech Hilul. That discussion is going to take us to the first Mishnah. The Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to describe how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana about how many days to take lulav after the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara is going to discuss, how do I know you even make a takana that is even appropriate to make a zecher l'churban, to make takanas as a zecher to the Churban Beis Hamikdash? And then the Gemara is going to discuss that one of the takanas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is sheyom hanef kulo aser, that the entire second day of Pesach, the Isra of Chadash is still going to apply. That normally you would, after the Karban Omer, Chadash would become Mutter, but now that we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, he made a takana that the entire second day, Yom HaNef is Kulo Aser, is Aser and Chadash. So the Gemara is going to discuss the details. What would the din be, Mida Oraisa, and in what way did his takana change that that din? Then on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to discuss how they would handle when the first day of Sukkot fell out on Shabbos, because the halacha is that you have to use your own lulav on the first day of Sukkot, and you're also not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to discuss how they would manage to retrieve their own lulav in shul when the first day fell on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to discuss, how do I know that a person cannot be yotzei with someone else's lulav on the first day of Yom Tov? And the Gemara is going to tell the story about being yotzei with someone else's lulav, about a number of chachamim that were traveling together, and how they managed to, when they had only a single lulav that was very expensive to one of them, how they all managed to be yotzei the mitzvah with that single lulav. So let's begin again. We're holding at Amma Rava Machlokas, last three words of the page on Daf Mem Amud Bey. So the last thing we had mentioned is we had this Machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yochanan, whether Shavias is Tofesas as Tameha Derech Chilul or only Derech Mekach. And we brought Brises to support each opinion. And the Brisa that supported Rabbi Yochanan's opinion quoted a Machlokas about Shavias and Meiser Sheni being Meschalel on a Behema Chayav Oaf. That Rabbi Meir said you could be Mechalel, Shavias and Meiser Sheni on an animal, whether it's alive or whether it's Shechted. Whereas the Chum said no, only Al Shchutin Meschalelin, but Al Chayav you cannot be mechalalin on a live animal. And the problem, the reason you can't be mechalalin on a live animal is because of a gzeru, we're afraid that shemi yigadol mehen adorim, that you're going to raise flocks with that animal, and therefore by the Torah says liachla velo l'schara, so it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a violation of liachla and velo l'schara. It's going to be a violation of schara with that which has kedusha shvi, because you're raising full flocks with animals that have kedusha shviyah. So says the Gemara, Amar Rava Machlokas, that Machlokas from Meir and the Chachamim, whether you're allowed to be Mischalel on live animals is only bizacharim, is only when it comes to male animals that are unable to have offspring. So that's why Rabbi Meir holds that it's no problem that you're allowed to be Mischalel on a male animal, because there's no reason to make a gzeira that Shemi Yigadol Adarim, because they're not going to give birth to anything. And the Chachamim hold, Afal Pi Cain, where goes of the Zacharim unto the Nekevos, where goes of the Zacharim unto the Nekevos. Of the Nekevos, the Rakal, Ashkut Meschalin al Chayin Ein Meschalin. But when it comes to Nekevos, everyone agrees that you're only allowed to be Meschalel on Shechted Nekeva animals, not on live Nekeva animals, because Gezer Shemigadalei Anadarim, because we are concerned that you're going to raise flocks of that animal that has kedusha shviyas. So now the Gemara goes back to explain. So that to explain the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar, whether shviyas transfers kedusha only derech mekach or even derech chilul. So since we have a klal that we try to minimize machlokas as much as possible, that's the assumption that we're working with. The Kabbalist tomorrow points out. So says Gemara, Amar Avashi machlokas. This machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, whether perush shviyas can transfer to the kedusha, even derech chilul, that's only bepri rishon. That's only with the original perush shviyas. Aval bepri sheni, but that which was purchased with perush shviyas, divrei hakol bein derech mekach bein derech chilul. Everyone would agree that kedusha can transfer onto something else, even derech chilul. V'ha'de ketani, and that which the brisa which supported Rabbi Elazar kept giving an example of how it transfers from one to the next. It kept on using the example of lakach. It said you buy with perush shviyas this item, and then you lakach with basar the dagim, and then you're lakach with the dagim. So from that lashon we were medayik that the kedusha saperos is only mischalel b'derech mekach, and this brisa is talking about even a pre sheni, even the basar that's being traded for dagim, which is not the original perus of shviyas, it still uses the term lakach and not chilul. So you see that even by a prisheni, the brisa holds, even when it's not the original shmita produce, the brisa holds that only derech mekach the kedusha is going to transfer. But that's not a raya, because the reisha spoke about the original kedusha, the original shmita produce, and in that context it said lakach to show, like the shita of Rabbi Elazar, that shviyas is mischalel only derech mekach. But the seifa that talks about a prisheni, I did tana reisha lakach, tana nami seifa lakach. Once the tone is set and we're talking about the original Shemitah fruit, so it's going to use the term lakach for that, because the Brisa is a raya to Rabbi Eliezer, so then the Seifa also says lakach. That's why it continues to use the term lakach even in the Seifa as well, even though in a chinami, in the Seifa, it doesn't have to be lakach according to anybody. In the Seifa, it could have been chilel, it could have been that you do it yourself on two items that you own. It doesn't have to be that you transfer from one to the other. So, Eisvei Ravina Ravashi, Ravina challenges Ravashi, Mishi Yishal. A person who has a coin of shviyas that he sold peru shviyas and he received a coin in return, he received money in return. So this money has kedusha shviyas ubikesh likach bo chaluk, and he wants to buy with this coin a chaluk. He wants to buy a piece of clothing with this coin, but he doesn't have the ability to do so because the Torah says liachla that you have to velo l'schora. So you're not allowed to buy anything with Shemitah produce that's still going to be around after the Zman Habiur. So when you buy peros or basar or dagim, you buy food, so you'll eat the food. But once the Zman Habiur passes, you're still going to have this clothing. So what do you do if you want to buy the clothing and you can't have a Kedusha Shviyas transfer onto the clothing? Ketzad Yase, how do you make it so that you're able to buy the chaluk with that sella that has Kedusha Shviyas? Yelich tzel chen v'ni haragil etzlo. Go to a chenveni, a storekeeper that you have a relationship with, who will follow along with your plan, and give him the sella, the omerlo, and tell him, tein li b'sella peros. In exchange for the sella, I would like some peros. V'nosinlo, so the chenveni will give you peros. V'chozer v'omerlo, then you tell the chenveni, hare peros halolo, these peros that you sold to me, that now have kedusha shviyas, because we transferred the kedusha from the sella onto these peros. So these peros that now have kedusha shviyas, nesunim lach b'matana, I'm giving them to you as a matana, and the chenveni, it will accept them back, and he'll eat them with kedusha shviyas, because that's fine. It doesn't cost him anything. It doesn't hurt him at all to eat the peros with kedusha shviyas. Vuhu, and then the chenveni will give you back the sella and omerlo, and he'll tell you helachaselazah b'matana, that I'm giving you this sella which is now chulin because you purchased peros with the sella, so the sella is no longer shviyas, the sella is now chulin. I'm giving it to you as a matana, and since the sella is now chulin, va'ala lokeach ben mashiyirta, the lokeach can go ahead and do whatever he wants with it. He could go buy a chaluk with it. So what happened? What was his trick? He had a sella that had kedusha shviyas. It is not a pre rishon. It's obviously not the original shmita produce. It's something that was exchanged for shmita produce. So now he takes that sella that has kedusha shviyas, and he buys peiros with it. So the peiros are now going to have kedusha shvius, and then he does a trade. He gives the peiros back as a matana, not an actual resale or return of the sale, because then it would just go back on the seller. But he gives the peiros back, peiros back to the chenveni as a matana, and the chenveni gives him the seller, which does not have kedusha shvius anymore, back as a matana, and now the seller is perfectly fine. I frak the gemara v'ha'acha depri sheinihu v'katani derech mekach in derech chilul lo. Over here, it's clearly talking about a seller, which is only a pri sheini. It's not the original kedusha shvius, and nevertheless, apparently, it's saying that you don't have the ability to just be mechalel it on something else. Otherwise, you wouldn't need a chenveni. You could just be mechalel the seller on something else. Apparently, it's only going to work. The kedusha is only going to transfer from that seller to the peros if you find the chenveni, you find someone who's willing to make a mekach, who's willing to make some sort of deal like that. So don't you see, therefore, that the Brisa says that even by a pre-sheni, you can't transfer the kedusha derech hilul. So you can't say that Reb Elazar is moda that by a pre-sheni that you could be mavir the kedusha derech hilul. Here you have a Brisa that says that you're not able to be mavir the kedusha in a derech hilul. So Ella Amar Avashi, so the Gemara says, you know what, you're right. If you're going to minimize the machlokas, the way to minimize the machlokas is not by saying that everybody agrees that a pre-sheni can transfer the kedusha derech hilul. There's another way to minimize the machlokas. Machlokas per pre-sheni, the machlokas of Lazar Rabbi Yochanan, whether perus shvius or mischalal, even bederech chilul, is only by a pre-sheni. And that's where we find that someone that holds that even bederech chilul, you could be mechalal the kedusha's perus. Aval bepre-rishon, divrei kol derech mekach in derech chilul lo. The way to minimize the machlokas is by saying that when it comes to a pre-rishon, everyone's going to be extra strict and say that it only works derech mekach and not derech chilul. But in a chinami, when it comes to a pre-sheni, when it comes to the not the original item of shvius, but that which was exchanged for the shvius, that's where you do in fact have a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan. V'hadiktani, and that which the brisa that we brought a raya to Rabbi Yochanan from said, echot shvius vechon meiser sheni. That both Shvius and Meiser Sheni could be Mischalel on a Behema, and we were Medayik from there that even Derech Chilul you could be Mavir the Kedusha of the Peros. You have to explain that my Shvius, Demei Shvius. What does it mean when it says Shvius? It doesn't mean the original Shemitah produce, it means the Demei Shvius, the money of Shemitah produce. But the Pri Rishon itself, the original Pri of Shvius, everyone would say is only Mischalel Derech Mekach. Because if you don't say that, you want to say that it means the original Pri of Shvius. So then, Meiser, when the Brisa didn't only talk about transferring Kedusha Shvius, it also spoke about transferring Kedusha's Meiser. So Meiser Mamish, that would have to mean that it's the original Meiser itself, can't be, because Vaksiv, it's Harta Kesef Piyadecha, that the Pasuk says that Meiser can only be Mischalel on Kesef Sheishlov Tzura. So the Chum learned from there that Meiser Sheni is only Mischalel on a Matbeya, only that which has a Tzura, only that which has an image on it. So how could the Brisa say that you could be Mischalel the Meiser on a Behema? It wouldn't make sense. It can't be talking about the original Meiser, because Meiser can only be Mischalel on money. Ella Demei Meiser. So Achinami Demei Shvius. So just like when it said Meiser, it didn't really mean Meiser, it meant only the money that has Kedushas Meiser, because it was transferred onto it. So too, when it says Shvius, it doesn't mean the pre-Rishon, it means that which has Kedusha Shvius. That's a special din by Meiser. There are a couple of halachos where there's a requirement that something be money, that it be actual minted currency. There was a philosophy that some had that it's best if that humanity would have been better off had we never come up with money, had we never come up with the idea of minted currency, if everything was just a barter system. And the Chaznish writes that that's not a Hashkafas HaTorah. We know it's not a Hashkafas HaTorah because there are dinim d'araisa that depend on minted currency. So Hashkafas HaTorah is that money is a good development, meaning those who wanted to say it creates the ability for people to amass wealth and then jealousy and unevenness or whatever. So the Chaznish writes that that's not the case, that money clearly is a good thing, because there are dinim d'oraisa that depend on money. And one such din d'oraisa that depends on something actually having status as money, as kesef sheish lev tzura, is an legitimate minted currency, is being mechalal the meiser, that you can't be mechalal the meiser sheni on anything other than kesef. That's why if you have, let's say, a pirate government that's not a legitimate government, that doesn't have a right to mint currency, so you're not allowed to use that currency to be mechalal your meiser sheni, right? That's the Tainer of Shachter always points out, that if for those who want to hold that the Israeli government is has no right to exist, and that it's, you know, it's a violation of whatever, of the Shalosh Shavuos, and it's just a pirate government, and so then if you have such a hashkafa, so that hashkafa matters la halacha, because then it means that you can't be mechalal your meiser sheni on Israeli shkalim, because then you're going to hold that it's that it doesn't have a din of currency, that it's all a pirate government, but because you actually need minted currency in order to be able to be poda meiser sheni. Okay, that's the tough part of the daf. Now says the Mishnah, new discussion. Barishon ha'yulul of nital b'migdash shiva u'b'medina yomech. That it used to be that lulav was taken in the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days, and Medina outside of the Mikdash for only 1 day. Why was it that way? Because that's what the Torah says, right? The Torah says that you're supposed to l'kachtam l'chem b'yom ha'rishon, that there's a din d'oraisa to take lulav on the first day everywhere, and the Torah says, "Usmachtam l'fnei Hashem l'kechem shavus yamim." That l'fnei Hashem l'kechem in the Mikdash, there's a mitzvah for all 7 days. But then, Mishacharev Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and there wasn't going to be lulav for all 7 days, so Hiskan Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh, Shei lulav nitl b'medina, Shiva zeichel the Mikdash. Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh made a takana that they should take lulav even outside of the Mikdash for 7 days as a zeichel the Mikdash. V'shei yomanev kulo aser. And then another takana of Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh was that the entire second day of Pesach, on Tes Zayin Nisan, on the 16th day of Nisan, the entire day is going to be usher to eat chadash, because when the Beis HaMikdash was around, chadash became mutter as soon as the Korban Omer was brought in the early part of that day. They wouldn't wait until the end of the day, but after the Churban, Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh made a takana that the entire second day of Pesach should be usher to eat the new grain, that you need to wait until after the second day is usher. What in the world does that have to do with Masecha Sukkah? That statement seems to belong in Masecha's Psachim, let's say. It's about what happens on the second day of Pesach. Why, what are we talking about over here? Why would we mention that takana? So Tosus points out, Harbe takanos tiken Rabbi Yochum and Zakai, elahanach tak tiken yachad, lachitan yachad, yomanev, agav gerora. So Rabbi Yochum and Zakai made a lot of takanos. In the post-Churban era, Rabbi Yochum and Zakai made a significant number of takanos as a way for Klal Yisrael to adapt to the new reality of a post-Beis HaMikdash world. But these two takanos were made at the same time. And therefore, once we mention the takana that relates to lulav, which is that lulav should be nital kol shiva, that we should take lulav for all 7 days, okay, so we also mention this other takana of yomanev. But Tos says it doesn't really carry through in terms of the rest of Shas, because in Menachos, in Parak Rabbi Yishmael, where this halach, the yomanev halacha really belongs, because we're talking about the Yisr Chadash, says, lo tani hanuch de lulav, agav hu de yomanev. It mentions the takana of yomanev kulu, but it does not mention the takana of lulav. Now, if these two are always going to go together, how come they don't go together over there? And in the last parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it mentions these two among many other takanos. It doesn't only mention these two. It tells us other takanos as well of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So it's unclear why it is that in Maseches Menachos it does not include both of these takanos. It has only one of them. In Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it has these two plus more. And over here, Masech Sukkah, it has only these two takanos. So that's a little bit difficult to understand why that would be the case. That's what Tosos points out. So there are those that write, some of the Rishonim write that once, or the Achronim rather write that once, who says this way, the Imre Emes writes that once Rabbi Yochum and Zakeh was Masakin to take Lula for 7 days. Eichel HaMikdash, it was very depressing for Klal Yisrael to hear that. Because why are you making a Zeichel HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash was just destroyed, but they were hoping to have it rebuilt. Meaning, Mashal Ma'adavar Doma. Remember those very early days of Corona, then when we first shut down the shuls, we started talking about, when we return to shul next week, how are we going to do laning? And what's going to be? Like we imagined, of course, it's going to come back right away. It took a while for the reality to set in that it was going to be a few months, that it wasn't a matter of a few days, it was going to be a matter of a few months, and it's still taking a while for the reality to set in that this thing's not going, has not yet fully gone away, no matter what we do about it. So in the post-Korban era, they're waiting, they're assuming the Beis HaMikdash is coming right back. Why are you making a takana for a Zecher HaMikdash, that we have to live life in a way that to always recall the Beis HaMikdash? That's depressing. That means that you're not that we don't think the Beis HaMikdash is coming back so fast. So that's why he made a takana Yom HaNeif Kulo Asr, because we're about to see in the Gemara that the takana of Yom HaNeif Kulo Asr is because of Mehira Yibana HaMikdash, that it's because the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt and we're going to be caught off guard, and that's why we have to asr the whole second day of Pesach in the Chadash. So that was to counteract the takana of lulav Zeichel HaMikdash. So that's why these two belong with each other. But in Maseches Menachos, where it only mentions the takana of Yom HaNeif, there was nothing. You don't have to mention the other takana because there was nothing to address. There was no problem to address. But when you mention the takana of lulav Shiva, so there's that it inherently creates a problem. It creates a certain sadness and depression in Klal Yisrael that has to be addressed. The Achronim also suggest that once he was Misakin Takanas Lulav, right away he said, you shouldn't always do everything exactly the way we did in the Beis HaMikdash. There are certain things that we do differently than we did in the Beis HaMikdash. So even though in the times of the Beis HaMikdash they would be allowed to eat the Tevuah Chadasha at the latest from Chatzos Hayom, Bizman Azeh, you're not allowed to do that. So that's why we juxtapose these two. That sometimes we behave as if the Beis HaMikdash were still here, and that's the first Takana, that we still take Lulav Kol Shiva, and sometimes some of the Takanos are to behave in a way that is different than when we have a Beis HaMikdash. There is a Machlokas Achronim, this idea of Lulav Nitol B'Mikdash Kol Shiva. Some say that it's Pashut that the mitzvah of Lulav B'Mikdash is a mitzvah Saseh Gemura in Kumvasei, just like the mitzvah Saseh of taking Lulav B'Gvulin. And the difference is only that in Gvulin the mitzvah is Noeg only one day, L'Kachlam L'Chem B'Yom Rishon, and in Mikdash it's Noeg for 7 days, L'Smachlam L'Chem Hashem L'Keichem Shivas Yamim. But the Chiyuv is on each and every member of the Jewish people to go to the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkos and to be Mekayim, this mitzvah, for all 7 days of Sukkos. However, B'Pashtus, it's Mashma that Klal Yisrael were not mitzuva to go to Yerushalayim for this purpose of taking lulav again. That's what Moshe writes in Igros Moshe, that there's no chiyuv to go to the Beis HaMikdash when you're already mekayim the mitzvah of Re'iyah just on account of the mitzvah of lulav. The Shlomo Zalman writes in Mincha Shlomo in Chelek Beis that there's no chiyuv to go for the purpose of that mitzvah, but he says that those who were right there, right next to the Beis HaMikdash, had to enter the Beis HaMikdash in order to get this mitzvah midaraisa. So Sfasema says, why wasn't there a chiyuv to go to the Beis HaMikdash each day of Chag in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah? Even those who are patur mitzvahs Re'iyah should have to go for this purpose. So he says that since the Pasuk says, L'kach l'mecham b'yom Rishon, it sounds that there's no chiyuv b'gvulin except for Yom Rishon. So it's like the Torah is being megalit to us that you have no further chiyuv. Meaning if you don't live near Mikdash, if you live, whatever, in New York or something, so you don't have a mitzvah of lulav to make sure that you get that mitzvah d'arais of lulav b'mikdash. Your mitzvah of lulav is l'kachtam l'chem b'yom rishon. And that's why the Torah specifically says l'kachtam l'chem b'yom rishon. Now we've mentioned, I don't remember when, but we've mentioned that the Rambam Shita is that mikdash doesn't just mean the Beis HaMikdash. The mikdash includes the entire old city of Yerushalayim. The Rambam Shita is also that Kedusha Rishon is kitchel l'shaita v'kitchel l'asalavo. And therefore, if that's the case, even b'zman hazeh, there would be a chiyuv min haTorah to take lulav b'mikdash. So the chiyuv v'take lulav in the old city of Yerushalayim. So the problem with that shita sarambam, if you're going to say that there is actually such a din that you're supposed to take lulav afilu b'zman hazeh in Yerushalayim, so Sfasemis points out then why did Rabbi Yochanan have to make a takana that lulavs nitel b'medina shiva as a zeichel mikdash? There was never need for a zeichel mikdash. We still have mikdash, because mikdash doesn't mean beis mikdash; it just means the old city. So there always existed an old city. Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Lashayda, Kedusha Lasalavo. What do you need to make a zeicher to a din that's still very much alive? That still very much applies. So some of the Acharim suggest, because after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Yerushalayim was also destroyed. The Churban Beis HaMikdash, it was Nechrashahi era, Adrenos Kesar destroyed the city. The Gemara in Tainus Chav Gimel and Beis gives us some of the details, and he made a gzera that Lo Yidroch Kaf Regel Admas Yir HaKodesh, that no one was allowed to walk in the old city of Yerushalayim, and that gzera lasted for a long time, until over time Ma'at Ma'at we were able to come back to the old city, and now Baruch Hashem the old city is teeming with Jewish life. But it wasn't always like that, so they needed to make a takana as a zeichel mikdash, because the city was destroyed. You ever read the Tefillah of Nachem? That was an accurate description at some point, how it's a totally plowed over city, and it's an almana b'liba neha. It doesn't have any of the holy city of Yerushalayim doesn't have any of its children, right? In fact, there was those that wanted to suggest after 1967 that we should stop saying Nachem or change the text of Nachem. Okay, we don't go that far. We don't do that. But the question is, the point is that it was once true, all those things that we're describing. Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe in Chelek Ches that it's a Tal Sofer in the Rambam. It can't be that all of Yerushalayim has this mitzvah, because that the whole old city, because when the Beis HaMikdash was around, everyone would bring their lulav to the Har HaBayis. The Mishnah says so explicitly, and Beis HaMikdash would be melamed them to say that whoever gets my lulav, we're going to see this in the Mishnah tomorrow, that whoever gets my lulav, it should be a matana for him. And then it brought about a sakana, because everyone used to beat each other up to grab to get the best lulav, and therefore the Chacham had to make a takana that everyone takes lulav bebeisam. But if you would say that the mitzvah is knowing in all of Yerushalayim, well, why did it lead to this? You know how many shuls there probably were in the old city of Yerushalayim? They could have spread it out enough that it wouldn't have led to this total chaos. So Rav Moshe says the fact that it was one central location and it was only in the Beis HaMikdash itself that everyone brought their lulav, that's what caused all the problems that we're going to describe in the Mishnah. But if it was really in all of Yerushalayim, the way that we have the Rambam, then it doesn't seem to make sense that they would have had these problems. Now, one more point over here. So we said that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made such a takana as a zecher l'mikdash. So if lulav kol shiva is only a zecher l'mikdash, so some of the Achronim raised the question: why is it that we don't recite after taking lulav yihi rotzon she'ibana beis hamikdash meir v'yameinu? Meaning after Sfiras Omer we do that. Because Sfiras Omer b'zman is also drabanan as a zecher l'mikdash. So we recite Yehi Ratzon that we should be Zocha, that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt right after doing that mitzvah. So why do we do the same thing when it comes to Lulav? So some suggest because B'nisin Asidon Li'igoyel and not in Tishrei, and therefore they are not Mesakin in Tishrei, they're only misaking when it's Shaykh that the Gula is about to come, that Mehiri Yibana Beis HaMikdash. Others suggest that no, it's not a Kasha, because the Korban Omer, the Mizbeach was Zoche in the Korban Omer, right? The Sisim Yom HaNivcham is Omer Kevis Tamim, that the Mizbeach got a Korban, so we're Mispalel for the Mizbeach, that the Mizbeach should return, but Lulav has no Shaykhus to the Mizbeach, and therefore you don't have to say a special Tefillah for the return of the Beis HaMikdash when we're doing this mitzvah of Lulav as a Zeich of the Mikdash, because it's not really going to change. The fundamental nature of the mitzvah is not going to change in terms of what we do, the action that we do when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. The pashtus is, Rav Soloveitchik had a very important chiluk that he pointed out, that when we talk about Zecher HaMikdash, and we're about to see it's muchach this way in the Gemara, that when we talk about Zecher HaMikdash sometimes means things that we do to commemorate the Churban HaBayis, and sometimes means things that we do to commemorate the Beis HaMikdash itself and how it functioned itself. The way Rav Soloveitchik formulated it is that the Gemara always calls it Zecher HaMikdash, but sometimes it means Zecher HaMikdash and sometimes it means Zecher HaChurban, and those are two different things. And when we're doing something that has a sense of Zecher HaChurban, then we're going to say such a Yehi Ratzon that the Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt. But if we do that which is only a Zecher HaMikdash, then maybe there's no Yehi Ratzon. When it comes to Sfiras HaOmer, the Gemara Menachos tells us that we do Sfiras Sfiras HaOmer differently now than we did when there was a Beis HaMikdash. Where it says, HaMeimar Amar Mitzvah Yomi and not Shvui, because actually we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and that's why we only do it as a Zecher HaMikdash, so we do it differently. So when you're doing a mitzvah differently, that has a little bit of a Zecher L'Churban element. When you're doing a mitzvah exactly the same way as a Zecher to the way the Beis HaMikdash ran, so that's a more positive, upbeat Zecher L'Mikdash element. What's the raya that there exists such two dinim? So the raya is the first piece of Gemara over here. It says Gemara, Minolan Dav Dinan Zecher L'Mikdash. How do I know that there's such a din to make a Zecher L'Mikdash? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Domer Krak, Ki Ela Aruch Halachim Makos Zecher HaPeich, Nu'um Hashem, Ki Nitcha Kar Lach Tzion Hi, Doresh Ein La. So we say, oh, we're lamenting that there's no one being Doresh Tzion, that there's no one seeking Tzion. Doresh Ein La Mechlal, the Bayadrisha. That implies that we need to be Doresh Tzion. So that's a pasuk that tells us that we're supposed to do a Zecher L'Mikdash. That's what it means to be Doresh Tzion, that we're supposed to do a Zecher L'Mikdash. This is not the only sugya that talks about Zecher L'Mikdash, and that quotes a pasuk that we're supposed to do Zecher L'Mikdash. The Gemara also asks in Maseches Bava Basra, how do I know you're supposed to do a Zecher L'Mikdash? And it quotes a totally different pasuk. Im Ashkachech Yerushalayim Tishkach Yimini. Right, we quote the pasuk of not forgetting Yerushalayim. Tidbak Lashoni Lechiki. Much more distressing pasuk. So how could it be that the Gemara in two different places asks how I know that you do a Zecher L'Mikdash? And quotes two different pasukim that to tell me that you do a Zecher L'Mikdash. Not only that, there are two different sets of examples of Zecher L'Mikdash. That over here, the examples of Zecher L'Mikdash are Yom HaNeif Kulo Aser, Lulav Nitel Kol Shiva. We have other items on the list in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed where it comes up. And yet in Maseches Bava Basra, where it quotes the other pasuk, you know what it says is Zecher L'Mikdash? Putting ashes on the chassan's head, putting on, leaving an amma by an amma unfinished on your house, leaving something, a woman's tachshitin, leaving something out from a woman's tachshitin. Well, what's going on? Two totally different sets of examples of Zecher L'Mikdash and two different psukim. You don't need to be the world's greatest brisker to realize that if there are two gemaras and they quote two entirely separate lists of examples and they quote two different psukim, that there are probably tzvei dinim over here. So you don't need to be a Soloveitchik to come to this conclusion. So if Soloveitchik pointed out, he happened to have been a Soloveitchik, so he pointed out that you have two dinim over here. You have a din of Zecher L'Mikdash and a din of Zecher L'Churban. That our dinim over here is Zecher L'Mikdash, things that we do just like they used to do in the Beis HaMikdash. Whereas the din of Efer Miklal Rosh Chasanim, the din of Amma Bayan Amma, unfinished in a house, that they didn't do that in the Beis HaMikdash. That's to remind us of the distress of the Churban. So that's to keep us sad over the Churban. That's a Zecher L'Churban as opposed to a Zecher L'Mikdash. Okay, Vayter the Gemara V'Shei Yom HaNeif. We then said that the entire second day of Pesach is Aser the Tvua Chadasha. So my time, why is that the case? Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash what's going to happen? Really, the din is that when you don't have a carbon omer, so when does the Tvua Chadasha become mutter? As soon as the second day of Pesach starts. So what's going to happen? Every year, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, as soon as the second day of Pesach starts, we're going to start eating the new grain. And then, Meher Yibana HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt next year. And we're going to say, oh, last year we were allowed to have Tvua Chadasha for breakfast. So we're going to do the same again. But the halacha will have changed, because once there's a Beis HaMikdash, you have to wait till the carbon omer is brought. So hashtanami nechel, they're going to say, oh, we can eat it for breakfast. Inu lo yadi, but they're not going to realize dishtaka to love a Beis HaMikdash heir mizrachitir. That in the previous year, when there was no Beis HaMikdash, when the day began, it already became mutter. Hashtadika Beis HaMikdash omer matir. But when there's a Beis HaMikdash, it's the carbon omer that's matir. So it says more the ivni emas. When are we concerned that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt? That this is going to be a problem. Ilema. If you're going to say that it's going to be rebuilt on the 16th day of Nisan itself, which is the day of the Nafas Omer, if the Beis HaMikdash is only rebuilt on the second day of Pesach. So in the morning of the second day of Pesach, we already had the heter because there was no Beis HaMikdash. And when there's no Beis HaMikdash, in the morning it already becomes mutter. Ela divni b'chameser. Now the thing is, we're concerned that the Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt on the 15th day of Nisan or prior to that. And then when it's Hayir Mizrach on the 16th day of Nisan, it's not going to be matir in the early part of the day because you already have the Beis HaMikdash, so only the Karban Omer is going to be matir. So that's why Rabbi Yochanan asked for the entire Yom HaNeif. So says Mar Bat Mechatzos, at least then let Rabbi Yochanan allow us to eat Chadash from Chatzos Hayom and on, because even if the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, they're for sure going to bring the Karban Omer by Chatzos Hayom. They're not going to delay more than that, because after all the Mishnah tells us that even when the Beis HaMikdash was around, Haruchok and people who lived a great distance from Yerushalayim and had no idea when the Karban Omer was brought was Mutar Mechatzos Hayom Alalan. They were allowed to eat the Chadash from Chatzos Hayom and on, Lefi She'im Bezin Mitzatzimbo, because Bezin were never lazy about being makriv prior to Chatzos, because once Chatzos arrived, there was a chazaka that it must have been brought already. So why would Rabbi Yochanan ask for the entire Yom HaNeif? Rabbi Yochanan should have said that it's mutter after Chatzos. So says Umar, no, the concern is Lotzricha de Ivni Belele. The case is, the reason Rabbi Yochanan needed this takana is because maybe the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt on the night of the 16th, meaning the second night of Pesach. Inami samuch l'shkia sachama, or the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt close to Shkia on the 15th. And in those situations, we have to be choshesh that maybe there's just not going to be enough time to do a ktsira sa'omer until the day is already about to begin. And there's a lot you have to do to prepare the Karban Omer to be brought in the Mizbeach, because you have to dry it out and toast it, and then you have to pile it up, and then to let its liquid seep out, and then you have to grind it in Rechaim Shel Grusa, and then you have to sift it in 13 different sieves in order to have the finest flour possible. So it could take more than half a day to prepare all of that. And therefore, the concern is that one year that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, not in subsequent years. In subsequent years, we'll have plenty of time in advance. But that one year when the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, if it's rebuilt last minute, if that's when it happens to be rebuilt, last minute, we're not going to get it done by Chatzos. And because of that concern, we Aser Chadash on the second day of Pesach every year of Churban, because of that concern that one year it might get rebuilt at this most inopportune of times. Now Rashi raises the issue. Rashi says that it's gonna what do you mean it's gonna be rebuilt at night? That the concern is gonna be rebuilt on the second night of Pesach. The Gemara says in Shavuos Ein Beis HaMikdash Belayla, you know, Ein Binyan Beis HaMikdash Belayla. You're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash at night. Ubi Yomekim, and you're also, there's another halacha. You're not allowed to, what's the concern? It's gonna be rebuilt on the 15th day of Nisan. 15th day of Nisan is Yantif. You're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash in Yantif. So Rashi says, you're right. We're not allowed to do those things. We're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash at night. We're not allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash on Yantif. But it's not going to be about us building. The issue is going to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to build the third Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be Yored Min HaShemayim, already built by the Ribono Shel Olam. So that's an important point that Rashi and Tosos both make over here, that the Binyan Bayis Shlishi is not going to be Ali De Bnei Adam, that's going to be built by the Ribono Shel Olam. So anyway, another answer to the Gemara. So Nachman Yitzchak Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai B'Shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amara. He's following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda lived much later, but Rabbi Yehuda is the one that formulated the Shita that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was already assuming. Damar Minatoru Aser. He holds that the base, when there is no base of Mikdash, the new grain is also the entire second day of Pesach Midal Raisa. It's not a Din Midraban and Dichsiv Adetzma Yom Azeh Aditzumu Shal Yom. That it's until Itzumu Shal Yom, including Itzumu Shal Yom, including the second day of Pesach. It says, where Mi Savar Kavaseit, does Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai really hold that it's Nisadar Raisa from the Thut Paligale? But then doesn't he disagree? The Tanan, Mishachar, Besamigash, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Sheyom, and Efkulu Aser, Samuel Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, why does Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai consider this to be his own takana? Sounds like it's only Nisadar Midraban, and Velomina Toru Aser, Dixavadatum Yom Zayad Itzumu Shal Yom. This is a Dindar d'oraisa that it's also the whole second day of Pesach. So says Mar Rabbi Yehuda Huda Katai. Rabbi Yehuda misunderstood what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai meant. Who savra midrabanan kamar? Rabbi Yehuda thought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's takana was a takana midrabanan, and he therefore criticized it and said, "What do you need a takana for? It's a din d'oraisa." But velohi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai never meant it as a din midrabanan. Midoraisa kaamar. He meant that it's a din d'oraisa. Says Mar Vaha Hiskin kaamar, but it said Hiskin, so how can you say that that means a din d'oraisa? So my Hiskin darash v'Hiskin. Hiskin meant that he just darshened and popularized this already existing din d'oraisa. Says Mishnah, Yom Tov Rishon Shchalios b'Shabbos. The first day of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. Kol ha'malichon suluvein lebeis haknesses. Everyone will bring their lulav to the shul. Machros mashkimin uban kalechad ve'echad makir shalom. Next day they would all arrive early. Everyone would find their own lulav v'noto, and they would take their own lulav. V'prei shomer chamein od miyot zidei chavasi Yom Tov Rishon b'lulav shel chaveru. Because you can't use someone else's lulav on the first day of Yom Tov. V'shar yimos hachag od miyot zidei chavasi b'lulav shel chaveru. But after the first day, everyone could use somebody else's lulav. There's no din of lechem. Rabbi Yossi Yomri Yom Tov Rishon shchag shchalios b'Shabbos v'shachach v'otzias lulav l'roshos rabim pater m'nei shotziu b'roshos. If the first day of Yom Tov falls on Shabbos and you accidentally carry the lulav on Shabbos because you're trying to do the mitzvah, you're pater for carrying on Shabbos because you were honestly trying to do a mitzvah. So minani mili, how do I know that you cannot be yotzi with someone else's lulav on the first day of Yom Tov? Titon rabbanon ulakachtem shetei l'kicha biyad kolechad ve'echad lachem mishalachem, that it's got to be yours. Lo tzias hashol v'esagazul, cannot be a borrowed or stolen lulav. Mikano mechamed on yotzi lechavasi Yom Tov Rishon shel chag b'lulav shel chavero elim kei noslo b'matana. A person cannot be yotzi with someone else's lulav unless he got it as a matana. O ma'aser Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Shuv, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, shoyibon b'svina. These holy tanaim were traveling on a boat. V'lo haya lulav el Rabbi Gamliel b'vach shalachu be'elav zuz. Only Rabbi Gamliel had a lulav because he paid 1,000 zuz for it. So not the Rabbi Gamliel v'yotzev. Rabbi Gamliel used it for the mitzvah. V'nasal Rabbi Shuv matana. And then he gave it as a matana to Rabbi Shua. Not the Rabbi Shuv v'yotzev. V'nasal Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Shua used it and gave it to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'matana. Not the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah v'yotzev. V'nasal matana Rabbi Kiva. And he gave it to Rabbi Kiva's matana. Not the Rabbi Kiva v'yotzev. V'yotzev. The Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Kiva used it and gave it right back to Rabbi Gamliel. So lamali lemeimar chziru. Why does he have to mention that he gave it back? Milsa agavorche kamashmalan, because it's telling me another din that matana manas haxer shma matana, that if you give a matana on the condition that it be returned, that that's called the matana and therefore it is lachem. Ki adam a rabba, like Rabbi said, halacha esrog ze al menashe tachzirili not la viyatzabo chziru yatzalo chziru lo yatz. If I give you my esrog as a matana manas haxer and you use it for the mitzvah, if you then return it, you're yotze. But if you do not return it, then you're not yotze. Lami lemer shalachu be'elav zuz. Why does he have to mention the price of the lulav that Rabbi Gamliel had? Lo diacha kama mitzvos chavivin aleihen, to let us know how beloved the mitzvos were to them, that he spent 1,000 zuz on a lulav. So Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Lei Mar Bar Ameimar a few lines before the lines get wide. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you.